favorite Christmas memories, Christmas Eve memories, was here in this room many years ago. My youngest son was very, very young, and I was just coming up onto the platform to speak, and he began screaming. And my question to the crowd in that moment was, whose child is that? Or really, what child is this, right? It turns out this one question, what child is this, is a question that's echoed throughout the centuries. We just sang it in one of the most beautiful Christmas hymns, but it's far more than a lyric. You know, it's a question at the very heart of Christmas because everything hinges on the answer. Imagine again, as we heard beautifully told tonight a couple different ways, the scene from that first Christmas night, a young couple in a crowded town, a baby born in a place that's meant for animals, a sky full of angels on one side, not in flannel graph, confused shepherds on the other. No one, I think, fully understood what was going on, but I think all of them must have sensed that something remarkable was unfolding right before them. Mary would have wondered, what child is this, truly? Joseph must have asked, what does this child mean for my life? You know, the shepherds, breathless from their encounter with the angels, would have been asking, what kind of child are we going to see? And tonight, whether you've been in church your whole life, or you're here because it's Christmas, or you're just curious, this same question matters to you. What child is this? Like, why does his birthday still matter so much? Years later, 2,000 years we've been celebrating his birthday. Why does it still move us every Christmas? Jesus' first or most famous talk, the Sermon on the Mount, is the most studied, most quoted, famous, influential speech in history. Nothing else even comes close. The instrument on which his enemies killed him, a cross, marks more graves, more jewelry. It's the single most recognizable symbol in the world. A Yale scholar, Yaroslav Pelikan, put it like this. He said, regardless of what any person might believe or think about him, Jesus of Nazareth has been the dominant figure in the history of Western culture for 20 centuries. Another historian, Kenneth Scott Latourette, said, as the centuries pass, the evidence is accumulating that measured by his effect on history, Jesus is the most influential life ever lived on this planet. All of this, his impact and his broad influence, begs the question, who is this child? What is all the fuss about? Christmas, like, explain yourself. Now, you may not have walked in here tonight with theological questions, but each of us have walked in here with real questions. Questions that are important to our lives, as in, why do I feel empty even when my life looks full on the outside? How do I make peace with my past? Where do I find hope for my future? Does God see me or know me or care about me in what I'm walking through in my life? Christmas is God's way of answering, not with an argument, but with a person. So when we ask, what child is this? Christmas responds, this is God, but God made close, God made human, God made visible and touchable and knowable, God who became flesh and blood and like moved into our neighborhood. Now the song we just sang answers the question, what child is this, with this is Christ the King. But notice how the King comes, not on a throne, not with soldiers, not with commands or demands. He comes as a gift, not a threat. He comes in vulnerability and humility and in poverty. He does arrive with a bit of an entourage. We heard about that. But aside from the wise men, it is not made up of the rich and famous, but of the poor and powerless. I think it's no accident that the first guests of this king were poor shepherds. Jesus, the Son of God, came with no status, no power ranking whatsoever. It's kind of funny. Kevin Bieksa is a well-beloved former Vancouver Canuck hockey player, and now he's a big deal commentator on Hockey Night in Canada. My wife thinks he dresses really well. I think that's all she thinks about him. Earlier this year, he walked into my coffee shop. And I was there with a bunch of my friends, and we are not the type to get tongue-tied, but there we all, our mouths all dropped open, we froze, and none of us could utter a word, because this guy who is something, you know, who we only saw really on a screen was suddenly in the same room as us. It was crazy. By the way, he came in a couple weeks later again. I was prepared this time, and so I literally jumped out of my seat. I walked across the room right over to him. I grabbed his hand. I mean, literally, what was he going to do? I shoved my hand towards him, and I said, "Kevin, my name's Derwin. We're now friends." But we're used to this. We kind of know that in our world, like where we live, we know there's those who have it, those that don't. We know that there's the rich, the famous, the powerful, and we kind of know where people fit in the rankings, right? But if you lined up the power rankings in Jesus' day, it would go something like this. Caesar Augustus at the top, then King Herod, then the chief priest, followed by perhaps some religious leaders. Somewhere far down the list would be this teenage, poor girl named Mary. And then finally, at the very bottom, is Jesus, a child. It's amazing that Jesus, the Son of God, actually came as an actual child. All my family, they live back east, and they had a big Christmas gathering that I missed once again this last weekend. And the day after my family's gathering, I texted my older brother and said, "How was Christmas?" And my older brother was typically responsive. He said, "It was good. I could have done with less of the screaming kids," was his next line. I have very boisterous great nieces and great nephews. But I've always loved that Jesus so clearly loved children. But you see, Jesus doesn't just care about children. He was one. He was a child. He knows the vulnerability of childhood, not from the outside, but from the inside. When he says, "Let the little children come unto me," he speaks as someone who has been a child himself. And consider his childhood and what it means. This is the only faith story in the world where the hero gets his start in a feeding trough. And this is good news, because it reminds us that in our hardest moments, that Jesus has been there. Jesus, think about it. He was born out of wedlock. He was born into a working class family in a backwater town, in a political environment where his family would have to flee as refugees and live as refugees for a number of years. What this means for us is that on our hardest days, Jesus has been there. Jesus knows what it's like to have lived a poor life. He knows what it's like to have family who are scrabbling just to make ends meet. We don't know much about his dad, Joseph, in the later years. The last time we read about him is when Jesus was about 12, and so we can assume that maybe shortly thereafter he died. So it could be that Jesus grew up in a single-parent family, or if you've experienced the loss of a person that you've loved, you know that Jesus has experienced that too. Which means this child, Jesus, knows the real world as it really is, with all the weariness and the losses and the strained relationships, the responsibilities that sometimes make us feel heavy, the world where joy seems like in short supply, where news makes us feel anxious. And into that real world comes the real Jesus, not distant or sheltered from pain, but born right into it. As Canadians, we are known as kind of a polite bunch. We like apologize for everything. Someone asks us how we're doing, what's our standard reply? Fine, right? Fine. Even if we're not fine, we say we're fine, right? Jesus didn't come to pretend that things were fine. He came because everything is not fine. He came because we needed rescuing. We need a hope that won't get shaken during hard times. We need a kind of light that no darkness will overcome. That's why the angels sang, I bring you good news of great joy for all people, for everyone, including you and me. And the manger was not the end of the story. It was the beginning. The child becomes the teacher who speaks of forgiveness. And then he becomes the friend who sits with outcasts. See, he becomes the healer who touches the broken, the shepherd who pursues the lost. He's the Savior who gives his life for us so that every sin and every burden and every failure, every wound could be carried by him. That is who this child is. And he is the one who loves you more than you could ever imagine. And this is the child that invites a response. Christmas Eve is beautiful. We have the lights and the music and the warmth of being together. But Christmas is more than a tradition. It's more than a feeling. It's an invitation, year after year. Some of you have been hearing this invitation for years now. So let me gently ask you again, what will you do with this child? What will you do with Jesus? Some of you may be exploring faith. Some of you may feel like you're far from God. Some of you may feel like you're hungry for a spiritual reset. Some of you may carry wounds that feel too deep for words. But here's the good news. Jesus comes towards you before you ever come toward him. He's Emmanuel. He's like God with us, God with you right now in whatever like you happen to be going through, whatever season you're in, he's God with you. And so as we sing and as we pray or simply sit in the glow of candles tonight, hear this. You don't have to have everything figured out to open your heart to him. You don't need perfect faith. You don't need like a cleaned up life. You don't need any kind of religious background. You just need openness. Even a small whisper of a prayer like, Jesus, if you are who you say you are, would you make yourself real to me? God loves to answer prayers like that because the child in a manger grew up to say, come to me, all you who are weary. Not just to some, but to all, including you and me. So tonight, let this ancient question become your question. What child is this? Can we pray? I wonder if in this quiet space there may be those of you who want to pray the prayer I just suggested. You can do that right now. Something like this. Jesus, if what they say is true, the rumors I've been hearing my whole life, the stories I've been hearing Christmas after Christmas, if it is actually true, if you're actually real, would you make yourself real to me? If you are who you are, who you say you are, would you show me? Help me in this space that I'm in right now. You know what I'm struggling with. You know the concerns that are part of my life in this moment. Jesus, would you help me? Would you break into my life, into my world, like you broke into our world? And show me the way. Thank you. And Jesus, tonight we remember that you are hope for the weary, and you're the peace for the anxious, and you're the healer of the broken, the savior of sinners. You're the guide for those who are lost, the love of God in human form. Thank you, Jesus, that you stepped into our world so that we could step into your grace. Tonight, as we celebrate your birth, help us to sense your nearness. And may we hear your invitation. May we find in you the life our hearts were made for.